Okay, I just want to say that this we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, and there's only three chapters in this book, but this chapter 2 is packed. I mean, it is packed. You can go all over the place with this. And so if I seem a little rambling at times, just know that there's a lot in there, okay? I'll try to stick with the script here and get done what we need to do. But Lord, I ask you now to be with us as we study your word and let your Holy Spirit have his way, Lord, and get out the information that he wants us to hear, the things he wants us to know, Lord. Yes, I've studied and put some things down here, Lord, but it's what you want that we want to hear. So you just take it over and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, the Apostle Peter told us God's divine power has given us all things to live godly and in peace. We can live a godly, peaceful life if we'll just follow God's word. Of course, we're the problem. You know, we're in between. We're the unknown factor. So pray often for the Holy Spirit to help you follow God's word. God's promise of salvation and eternal life are included in those all things, right? He's given you all things. He's given you salvation. He's given you eternal life. He's given you the Holy Spirit. Just think of all the things the Lord has provided for you that you can live a godly life and a peaceful life. Amen?
Amen.
But of course, we know that even though we try as hard as we can, there may be times when we have difficulty. Just like Israel today, right? One of our government officials said, well, there hasn't been peace like this in Israel for a long time. Man, the next day, it all went crazy. They were doing what they were trying to do to be peaceful with everybody. And this other country, not even a country, really a group, decided they didn't want that to happen. So they're on the rampage. Peter strongly advised us to grow in faith by the word of God so we would never forget our salvation in Christ. Do you ever forget your salvation in Christ? No, you're saying, no, I never forget my salvation in Christ. But when that person cuts you off on the road, sometimes you get a little irritated and you forget, because you're supposed to be forgiving and understanding. So try to remember that next time. All right? So we have everything, but we just need to grow in walking in the Spirit, don't we? We need to get closer so we would never forget our salvation or stumble in our walk with Him. I guess that's where that falls in. It's a stumble, right? Yep. So we need to keep His Word in mind. Keep what He's done for us in mind, His salvation He gave for us. Peter reminds us that he and the other apostles preached the gospel of Christ because it's the truth of God.
Amen.
It's the truth of God, given to the prophets and confirmed by God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we should do what it says to do. Amen?
Amen.
Hear God and do what He says. Thank you, Pastor Earl Foster, right? So we should do that. I mean, it's just without even, no questions. So we saw all that last week, but now we're going to move forward. And we're in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read the first three verses, and then we'll talk about it. Now, we mentioned the fact that the prophets of old had spoken and given us God's word, and He ordained all that to happen, right? But we need to realize, and Peter reminds us, there were also false prophets. There's always been false prophets. There's always going to be false prophets. Just need to know they're out there and be on your toes and keep an eye out for them, right? So he says here, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. They're there. They're happening, all right? And they will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, lied about, misrepresented. That's what that means, right? And verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle. God's judging them. He's working, okay? Don't worry about it. He's got it. And their destruction does not slumber. So there's going to come a day, right? There's going to come a day. In verse 1 through 3, there are also false prophets of old, right? So in former times, the Old Testament, when God was giving prophecy through those He chose to deliver His plan, there were also false prophets. Can you name one? Well, if you can't, that's okay, because Peter's going to name one for you here in a minute, all right? So keep your eyes open. So human sinful nature hasn't changed. It's always there. It's always going to be there until after the Lord comes back, right? Consequently, Peter is telling us that they will be with us until the Lord's kingdom is reality for believers. Because only believers are going to get to experience the Lord's kingdom and know the reality of that peace and joy and harmony and all the good things that the Lord brought. These false teachers will bring destructive, false teaching, including denial of our foundational beliefs. They'll deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They'll deny His virgin birth. They'll deny that He rose again from the dead. And there's plenty of it out there already. He didn't die. He just fainted. He just passed out. He was unconscious. And then He came back to you. They brought Him back to you. Listen, a Roman death squad declares you dead. Folks, you're dead, okay? That's just the way it is. They know their job. So these false teachers are going to bring in these destructive heresies and even lying about Christ Himself. How does one deny Christ? When you refuse obedience to His commandments. That's denying Christ. Disobedience. That's how. When one refuses obedience to Christ by not following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's the unpardonable sin, folks. If you go out of this world without answering the call of the Holy Spirit to get born again, you're done. There's nothing else that can be done. Scripture says, there is a way that seems right to man. Incredibly, how many will accept the leadership of these false teachers and follow them? It happens in great numbers, right? And by the way, what's the end of the way that seems right to man? Death. Death. If it seems right to you, check it out with the Lord. Check it out with the Holy Spirit. Make sure it's right. Okay? Now, why do people follow these false teachers? Well, there's two reasons that I could think of right off the hand. Number one, they never received the Holy Spirit. Even though they were confronted with the truth of Christ by the Holy Spirit, they didn't receive Him. They chose to deny it, right? So they never accepted the Holy Spirit. They were not born again. If you're not born again, you're done. Secondly, some who were born again, yes, some got born again, but they lacked growth in obedience to the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, but you're not obeying the Holy Spirit, what's your life going to be like? As a Christian, it's going to be miserable because you're going to try to have one foot over here in the world and one foot over here in the church world, and you're going to be stretched both ways. It doesn't work, folks. You know that. I'm not telling you anything new. So in other words, they would not be toast. They would not believe, trust, obey, and serve, right? They wouldn't believe the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 3 talks about covetousness. Covetousness is greed. Let's just call it what it is, right? It's greed. Greed is lust for wealth. Not just money. And actually, it's for even more than wealth. It could be lusting for power. It could be lusting for control in situations, right? So greed and lust, that's a whole other world unto itself. And we could go on with that for a long time. These false teachers are motivated by greedy desire. A desire for wealth, a desire for power, a desire for control. And this happens in the smallest of places. Small workplaces, small churches, small towns. Greed is everywhere. And it's infectious. What's the remedy? Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Okay? He's always the answer. And why? Because He brings the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers you and I to deal with all this stuff. That's why we should be knowing this. Should be like Curtis, knowing all these verses, right? So, these false teachers are motivated by greedy desire. They motivate others by an appearance of success and authority. They appear to be the top dog and what they say goes. Or they drive the nicest car, wear the nicest clothes. They might be in debt up to their neck, who knows, but they're still flaunting it out there, amen? So they have the appearance of success and authority. God does not slumber. He is not idle. He is always active, examining the motives of His children. That's you and I. Are our motives right? If our motives are right, then God can bless us and use us and we can do great things. Okay? If it's not right, it's not going to work. So you have to have your motive right and be obedient. So, the motives of His children, especially of those who desire to teach and lead His children. I'm talking about pastors and elders and deacons and stuff like that, right? You're on a higher plane of responsibility. You have a higher plane of obedience. And so you're more accountable. That's just the way it is. So you need to be aware of that and follow God's plan. This has always been God's MO, right? This method of operation. Without repentance, false teachers are destined to destruction. What is God doing about these false teachers? He's given you His Word to combat them and know what to do and how to deal with them. Here's the answer. God gave it to you, right? He's given you the truth, God's Word, so you can identify false teachers and not be led astray. That's why we have this. It's the instruction book. You know, back in World War II, they would give coast watchers these booklets, and it had different ships, enemy ships, the profiles of enemy ships. It had the profiles of enemy planes. And they'd go out with binoculars, and if they'd see something, they'd check the book and check the sky. Oh, I think that's this enemy plane. They had a book to help them identify the enemy. Here it is. Here's our book to help us identify the enemy. Isn't God great? He is all the time. All right, we're going to move on to verse 4 through 11. Let's see what time it is. All right, and here's what it says. This is a long reading, so stay with me. Don't go to sleep. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. You know, he was living there in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? For that righteous man dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Why did he stay? Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Man, there is so much in these verses. It's speaking, now this is a very important thing to remember, okay? Very important. Speaking against a God-ordained authority is a very serious offense with God. He puts people in positions. That's His choice. You shouldn't speak against them. If you disagree with them, you should go with them and sit down and talk. And you can make an appeal. You can point out that things might go a little better if they would try this or try that. But you can't go in there and read them the Riot Act. Doesn't work. After David, remember David, the sheep herder? After David was anointed as the next king of Israel, he did not try to put King Saul off the throne or even speak against him. You remember what happened to him, David? He ended up being a servant in the household of Saul. Even though he was anointed to be the next king, he's serving Saul, who's like off the rail. You know, he's had it. But David waited for the Lord to remove Saul from the throne. He didn't take it. He waited.
Wow. Don't that kind of remind you like how Jesus came the first time as a servant and he's coming back as a king?
Yeah, isn't that remarkable? Jesus didn't come in to say, I'm the Redeemer, I'm the King of the world, I'm taking this. No, that wasn't his method of operation. Why? Why didn't he do that?
He came to save us.
But it's a foreshadowing.
That's right. He's our example. He showed us that's not the way to do it. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. He will take control of it. Amen?
Amen.
If it's His will, He'll do it. Just be patient. Just wait. But while you're waiting, you're not just doing nothing. No, you're still serving, you're still praying, you're still doing the things you are led by the Lord to do. Amen? He waited. Rebel, act, or speak against God's authority is worthy of one's destruction. God doesn't have to end your life to show you you're in the wrong. He can just set you aside for a while. I don't think He will hurt you. I don't think He will kill you that way. I think He'll just guide you in a different way. That's my personal belief. Verses 5 through 8. Peter gives us three examples of how to deal with these things. There are others. You can find them in Scripture. In each case, the offender was permanently incarcerated or outright destroyed. Well, I guess I have to eat my words then. God does do that, doesn't He? We'll see. God gave warnings to the humans in these examples who did not repent. Verse 9, God delivered the righteous, which is a great reason to obey the Holy Spirit and trust Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You want to be delivered? You better be doing the right thing, serving the Lord, walking in the Spirit. You know, that's what I call doing the right thing. Walking in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not doing the right thing. Pretty simple, right? God doesn't want to make it hard because, you know, we're humans. We don't get it. Obey the Holy Spirit. Trust Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice, God delivered the godly out of temptation, not sin. That's what the Scripture says there. He delivered them out of temptation. Verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He doesn't let it go to the act. He gets taken care of at the temptation stage. Isn't He a great God?
Amen.
Takes care of us before we get to the danger point, right? He doesn't wait for us to sin. Also, the disobedient, unjust are waiting under punishment. Well, what are they doing down there in Tartarus? Waiting for the judgment seat of Christ. Or I should say the great white throne judgment. What are they doing? They're miserable. They're being tortured because they didn't accept Jesus as their Savior. They're not having a happy time. They'll never ever have another happy time. It's over. They're under punishment, already condemned, as the Scripture says. Where does it say that? It's like John 3:17 or 18. It's right after John 3:16. Yeah. They are condemned already because they have not believed in the Son of God. See Curtis for the exact rendition. That's what Scripture says. You don't have Jesus, you're already condemned. You're going to suffer that way. Verse 10. Those in verse 10 are actively seeking to be disobedient. Let's go back and look at it. Well, I'll read it to you. Verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despising authority. That's what they're doing. They're actively seeking to be disobedient to God because they have their own agenda. I want what I want, and that's what I'm looking for. I don't care about God. Not worried about it. One day they will, but it'll be too late. They're using their flesh to seek sin. That's what that's saying. Disobeying any hint of authority. They don't care about authority. They think they are the authority. I'm in control of my life. Don't tell me what to do. They believe themselves to be the authority, that their will is the only authority they need to obey. This is it. I'm living for me. You know what gets me is that the world isn't in worse chaos than it is. Because if you don't believe in God and this is it, you ought to be out there grabbing all the gusto you can. And pushing people out of the way all the time, right? It could be a lot worse if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holding all that back. Amen? They do not view dignitaries. Dignitaries are known authorities, right? They do not view dignitaries, known higher authority, with any regard as to authority to rule over them. You're nothing to me. I do what I want to do. Man, you can see this all day long if you go into the classrooms today. Can't touch me. That's what they'll tell you. Don't put your hands on me. Oh, I just got to tell you this one. I was in my own portable classroom and I taught down in the Keys, and it was out in the back 40, far away from the office. And there was this one particular young man that was very hard to control. He was always picking fights with everybody. Well, my classroom had a front door and a back door. And I would always stand at the front door and greet students as they came in, right? Try to get the upper hand with them before they went crazy. So I'm standing at the front door. I turn and I look at the back door, because you know you got to keep your eye in both places. I look at the back door. Here's this kid standing there. It looks like he's going to start pounding another guy. So I just walk back there casually. I didn't even say anything. I just walked back there. I walked up behind him and I opened the door and I just ushered him out and shut the door. And the door locks automatically. You can't open it. He ran around the portable. It was a portable. He ran around the portable, came back in the front, and he was laughing. He said, "That was pretty good, Mr. Russell. That was pretty good. I didn't expect that at all." I said, "Well, that's the way it goes sometimes, but you can just have a seat now and we'll get started." And he did. Speaking against God-ordained authority is a very serious offense. I think I did that already, didn't I? No, I'm on 11. I'm going to go down to 11. I got a double print going here somehow. In verse 11, Peter compares these miscreant sinners to the disciplined behavior of God's holy angels. He's going to compare them. And angels know the limit of their place of service. They know that they are serving God. That's their job. They do what He tells them. Nothing more, right? They have no power to accuse humanity or other spirits. They do not judge. That's where the fallen angels went off the rail. They thought they had more authority. They don't judge. They have no power to accuse humanity, only to serve as God directs. Humanity could never master that kind of discipline. How do I know that? We needed a Savior. We have to have a Savior because we can't do it on our own. Humanity can't master it. We believers need to understand that our disobedience, even the small stuff, opens doors in the spirit realm that we need help to close. Don't be opening those doors. Be obedient to the Word of God. That's why you tell your kids and grandkids, some of those games are not for you, especially that Ouija board. Get rid of that thing. And I mean, don't just throw it in the trash, throw it in the bonfire. Get rid of it, right? We believers need to understand that disobedience allows the spirit realm access that they shouldn't have, especially the evil spirits. So, because of that, we need a Savior. Because we're real good at opening the door. We're ignorant most of our life. And so we have to have the help of our Savior.
Did you catch all the deceptive?
No, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, okay.
All the descriptors of disobedience.
Right.
So let me just go back up and look at that one more time. And we can find them. Tell them to me, Frank, if you see them. What does it say?
Well, your sister, all of them look like the false teachers who are fleshly, oppositional, presumptuous, critical, willfully bold. Those are warning signs.
There you go. All right. Good. You read it better than I do. Those are all in the passage. They're warning signs of what? False teachers. False teachers, false leaders exhibit these characteristics. So when you sense them, when the Holy Spirit causes you to sense that, then your antennas go up and you start looking out.
It's amazing how we could name a few of them, but I'm not going to, in our government.
Right. Okay, kind of bothers me, but we'll go on. Verse 12 through 17. But these false teachers and leaders, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Notice it doesn't say destruction, it says corruption. And it will receive, and they will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam. That was the false prophet I was telling you about earlier. Actually, he wasn't a false prophet. He was a deceptive prophet because he did tell the truth.
So then, Dad, these teachers never got saved.
That's a good likelihood. That's a high likelihood that they did. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. We're talking about false teachers. These are wells without water. Clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
And that's scary.
Yeah. Now listen, water is an essential for life. So leaders and teachers of Scripture are supposed to be giving you the water of life. But these false teachers are not doing that. They have no water to give. And so you can't depend on them. Curtis?
That same phrase is in Jude 12, verse 13.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. A brute beast does as it pleases. You can't stop them. You ever try to get in the way of a wild boar? How about just go out in the pasture with a bull and prod him a little bit? You better be pretty quick. Brute beasts do as they please, operating from a natural instinct. False teachers also follow their natural desires rather than the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because probably they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They opted out of that program. Like brute beasts, they perish in their own destruction. Yes, they do things that cause them to lose out. They make their own poor choices that end it. Peter is agreeing with Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
People, death isn't the end. Death doesn't mean annihilation. Death means separation from God, separation from the Holy Spirit if you're a believer, a born-again believer. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you separate yourself from the Holy Spirit. The only thing He wants to hear from you is, I'm sorry, I repent, I will try my best never to do that again. And then you can renew that relationship. Otherwise, no, it's gone. In Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. My mom used to say this all the time. You made your bed, you got to lie in it.
Didn't make it.
That's right. Peter alleges them to be deceiving the church while taking part in communion. That's what he's talking about. They take part in your feast. That's the feast of communion. He compares them to stains on a pure white garment. Adultery here in verse 14 is not just a spouse cheating on their mate. It's the human spirit and soul cheating on Christ, claiming to be a born-again believer, but not, and acting. You know, they get in on the party, but they're not really part of it. They're using their position for self-fulfillment. Lacking control, they bore the curse of perpetual sin against the discipline of the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, Balaam, he's a pagan prophet. He's not a prophet of God. He's a pagan prophet of Mesopotamia. He's a perfect example of this behavior. He was a prophet for hire. A king hired him to put a curse on the children of Israel as they crossed his land. He didn't want them there. And he accepted. He accepted, but God intervened. And what happened? Every time he spoke, a blessing came out on the Jews instead of a curse. And it happened again and again. Finally, the king said, "This isn't working. What are we going to do?" So he came up with another plan, a plan of deception. God finally had a donkey speak truth to Balaam, truth he used for personal gain, not personal salvation. When the donkey wised him up, he didn't use that and fall in line with God. No, he came up with an alternate plan. Hey, let's just have the good-looking women of this kingdom go out and get with the Hebrew men, and that'll mess up the whole thing. And that's what they did. And it messed up the whole thing. Balaam merely modified his plan for self-gain while opposing God's plan for good. He wasn't a false prophet, but a deceptive prophet. False teachers and leaders are empty vessels who, in the end, are a blemish to the Lord and His church. That's finally how you know them, I guess. Verse 18 through 21. Clock's in a bad place. "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness," we're talking about the false teachers and leaders, "when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty," the leaders are promising them liberty, "they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." Slavery. You're a slave to that. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord," we're talking about those who are coming out of the world, not the leaders now. These are people that are trying to better themselves through the Lord. "When they come out of the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again are entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning." You know what seekers are? Seekers. Seekers are people in the world that they've heard about Jesus. They're looking to find out more, maybe even get born again. That's what this is talking about. These seekers are coming out of the world, but what do they run into? False teachers. And they have to deal with that. They're entangled again. Verse 21, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." I'm going to clarify that in a minute because it's a little confusing when you just read it right away. "But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returned to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire.'" That's their natural way. They're going to go back to it.
Now,
yeah.
Now, that is
Well, I'm an old guy. I've seen a lot. Well, I won't say a lot. I've seen some come forward and apparently get saved, but they don't get too far with it. Why? Because they don't follow through. They don't come back to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't learn. So what do they end up doing? Going back to their old ways.
They don't become born again.
But we can't judge that. If a person comes up here and confesses Christ, you can't say, oh, you're acting that way. You must not have gotten saved. That's not my judgment. See, we need to learn from the angels. That's not my place. Curtis.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question on that then. Knowing that the Lord knows everything, why then would He seal someone with the Holy Spirit that He wants to be more Christ-like? That's why He gave them the Holy Spirit. Why would He do that then if they weren't going to be the way He knew them?
You know, when you get to heaven, there's probably going to be a long line of questions. You're probably going to be in that line. Verse 18 is describing a persuasive speaker or orator who can influence people with words. Are they out there? Oh, yes, they're out there. They are not speaking lustful or lewd things so much. That would be too obvious, wouldn't it? But their words would allow false teaching and inclusion of inappropriate things as part of the gospel in the lives of believers. What am I talking about? One foot in the world, one foot in Christ. That's what I'm talking about. The immature, the newborns, if they don't get the correct teaching, what's going to happen? They're going to get tangled up again in stuff they shouldn't be tangled up in. Not their fault. Or maybe it is their fault. It would be a form of syncretism. Syncretism is combining two things, two beliefs, to come up with something new, right? So it'd be a form of syncretism, implying a new believer could hang on to their sinful lifestyle and worship Jesus as Lord also. Well, don't worry about it. It'll all work out. Just, you know, it'll be okay. No, they need to get in the Word. Somebody needs to sit them down and get them into the Word. Amen?
Amen.
This is not the teaching of Christ as Lord of your life. That's what they need to hear. He's Lord of all. Not just part of it. And in verse 19, the false teacher is perpetuating bondage as a Christian liberty. How's that happening? Bondage by something in the life of the believer that's holding them in a sort of suspended position. They're not able to move forward. Can't go back. They're saved. They have the Spirit. They're not comfortable going back, but they're not comfortable moving forward because of false teaching. Because they won't trust the Lord to take care of all of it. That's why He's called Lord of all. He wants to take care of all of it. Give it all to Him. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. False teachers promise liberty to followers who believe what they are teaching, not by total willful obedience to Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's what new believers need to be taught. Here's what the Holy Spirit says. Do this. That's what they need. Which is something false teachers won't or can't do. Verse 20, any person who has come to a saving knowledge of Christ, then captured by false doctrine, is in great, grave danger. Perhaps forever misled into a life of perpetual error. Now, you'll have to have the debate in your own mind. If somebody is saved and led astray and they can't get straightened out and they pass away, where are they going? Okay, you settle it in your own mind. If you're saved and sealed, but you're not living the life, See, that's why I'm letting you decide. I'm not going to tell you. This is the way it is.
Well, what do you believe?
Read the Scripture. No, it's not what I believe. It's what you believe the Scripture says. Trying to come to Jesus on terms other than the truth of Jesus and then living by those false beliefs, it's death. It's death while we're here because you're miserable. You don't have the truth. You can't live the life for Christ because you're not able. You don't have the truth. The only thing that helps them if somehow they get into a Bible-believing church and they start getting the truth. I have to believe there's a desire for that if they've been saved. They have to want it. I got saved as a 10-year-old kid. I didn't live for Jesus. I didn't live for Jesus till I was about 25, 26 years old. Then I wanted it. I got saved, but I didn't. I can remember I didn't know how to live the life for Jesus. I can tell you exactly where I was when I said in my mind, I can't do that. And nobody's showing me. Did I have enough sense to go back to the church where I got saved? No. So it took me 14 more years to get it figured out. But eventually I got into a church that told me the truth. And I knew that I didn't have it. I had it, but I didn't have it. If you can figure that out.
Yeah.
So they may ultimately hear the words of Jesus if they never figure it out. They might hear this. I'm not sure. Depart from me. I never knew you. This is why teaching correct doctrines of God are essential.
Amen.
We must speak the truth. And we must speak it consistently. Peter talks again in verse 21 of false teachers. They are true apostates. They knew the way of righteousness by hearing the gospel of Christ. And then they rejected it.
So they never got saved.
They didn't get saved. No, they didn't get born again. Now he had evidence of that evidently. To speak it, just be very careful. They knew the way of righteousness and rejected it, choosing their way instead. That's why I think it takes a mature person to become an apostate. They have to be mature enough to reject it.
What is an apostate?
An apostate is one that has been presented the gospel in a way that could be understood, but they rejected it. They didn't get born again.
They turned from it.
And you know, they may even come to church for a while and live like a Christian, but eventually they turn from it. That's an apostate. In the end, they're back where they started.
Dan, is that like almost like the parable of the sower and the weeds?
Probably some of that in there. They end up back where they started, like the brute beast, dependent on their own way, doing what comes naturally, lost in the mire. That's where they end up. Question. What then has God done to defend us against false teachers and leaders? Gave you the Word. What else?
The Holy Spirit.
Gave the Holy Spirit. What else? What else? The Word, the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters to help you. Yeah, that's why we fellowship. That's why we talk about these things. So we can get help if we need it. Well, I don't quite understand this. Well, let's talk about it. That's what Bible study is about on Sunday morning. I don't quite get this. Well, let's talk about it. False teachers are out there. False teachers are in the churches. So be in the Word. Be aware. Trust the Lord. Get help. If you have a suspicion, get help. Walk the right way. Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me to believe that somebody, let's say, for 15 years is in the Word, gets baptized, gets rolled in it, and then walks away from it. I mean, I'm like, that. When I hear about people like that, I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
Satan had to get awfully powerful
right.
in their life because, wow,
that's right.
He still did it. It's falling, you know, the only thing I can say for my pet would be falling away, not going to Bible study, not reading the Word, not going to church, you know, living and all that.
There are things in life that are so overwhelming, they rock your faith. Rocks your faith. And when that happens, you better get help. Yeah.
Well, what he just said, I mean, if someone has truly been saved and sealed, you're sealed to the day of redemption. The person obviously doesn't have
to. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to be faithful yourself. You have to be that constant, consistent example for those that are a little bit rocky, right? They're out there. They're in the churches. They're not sure. But you have to show them how sure you are. Yes, Nelia?
Some legalistic people think they have it figured.
Right. That's right. You can't. In your limited humanity, you cannot be dogmatic. You cannot say, that's the way it is. Now, the foundational beliefs we have, yeah, we can be dogmatic on that. We have to be. We can't be wishy-washy on those things. That's right. But there's areas where you'll have questions. Pray hard. Consult. And see if you can't come to peace about it.
About an apostate, whether they lose their salvation. 1 Corinthians 5, when Paul was talking about the one who was sexually immoral, he said in 5:5, I've decided to turn such a person over to Satan for the destruction of his body so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord.
Okay, so that person was a believer, evidently.
He was a believer, but he had fallen into sexual immorality.
That's right. And he had been given opportunities to straighten up, and he didn't.
Right.
So here's what Paul said. Put him out of the church. Put him back into the world and see what happens. If he's not saved, if he really isn't saved, he'll be destroyed out there. He'll just get lost in the masses. But if he's a child of God, he'll return. Did he return? Yes, he did. There's another book, or maybe later in that book, he did return. I'll have to look it up for you, so we'll have it next time. But it worked. They put him out of the church. And then you read later that he came back. So there's ways to deal with these things. Some of them are extreme. You can't come to church here anymore. Don't come back. That's hard to tell somebody. You know, if you're telling somebody that, you're thinking to yourself, I have the authority to do that. Is that going to really work out with the Lord? Well, that's what he says to do in his word. We're given ways to deal with things. We need to use them. But we need to be real sure. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now you got some things to look for in the days to come, right? All right, let's pray. Father, we have questions. We read your word. We study your word. It brings questions. You don't mind that. You have the answers. And you tell us what to do, how to do it. Mainly be obedient. Trust you. Trust the Lord. Trust what you're doing. Walk with the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit. Be faithful. Faithful in the Word. Faithful in your walk. If we'll do those things, Lord, our questions will be answered. And we'll end up where we're supposed to be with you. So, Lord, help us to be faithful to the study of your Word, to the knowledge of your Word, so that we can keep ourselves and our brothers and sisters in Christ in the proper place, not fooled by false teachers. Thank you for looking out for us and giving us all the things we need to do that. Be with us now as we go, Lord. Help us to look in your Word and research these things. We'll get closer to you for doing it. Thank you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.